They weren't terribly tall, maybe 5'6", but they were layered with white fur and muscle. Each had a head that was almost goat-like, but the horns atop them curled around to the front like a bull's, rather than arching back. Their legs were reverse-jointed and ended in hooves, and they moved in a series of single-legged leaps more than running. They got better air than a Chicago bull, too, which meant I was dealing with something with supernatural strength. Though thinking about it, I couldn't actually remember the last time I dealt with something that didn't have supernatural strength, which is one of the drawbacks of the wizard business. I mean, some things are stronger than others, sure, but it wouldn't much matter to my skull if a paranormal bruiser could bench press a locomotive, or if he was merely buff enough to juggle refrigerators. I trained the tip of my blasting rod on the lead what's it, and then a bunch of snow fell from above in my peripheral vision, landing on the ground beside me with a soft thump. I threw myself into a forward dive, rolled over one shoulder, and came to my feet already moving laterally. I was just in time to avoid the rush of a fourth what's it, which had knocked the snow loose just before it dropped down onto me from the treehouse Michael had built for his kids. It let out a hissing, bubbling snarl. I didn't have time to waste with this backstabbing twit, so I raised the rod as its tip burst into scarlet flame, unleashed my will, and snarled,
"Fuego!"
A wrist-thick lance of pure flame leapt from the blasting rod and seared the creature's upper body to blackened meat. The excess heat melted snow all around it and sent up a billow of scalding steam. Judging by the tackle hanging between the thing's legs, as the steam burst up from the snow, it probably inflicted as much pain as the actual fire. The what's-it went down, and I had to hope that it wasn't bright enough to play possum. The Carpenter children were screaming. I whirled around, readying the rod again, and didn't have a clear shot. One of the white-furred creatures was running hard after Daniel, Molly's oldest brother. He'd begun to fill out, and he ran with his fingers locked on the back of the coats of little Harry and Hope, the youngest children, carrying them like luggage. He gained the door, with the creature not 10 feet behind him, its wicked-looking horns lowered as it charged. Daniel went through the door and kicked it shut with his foot, never slowing down, and the creature slammed into it head-on. I hadn't realized that Michael had installed all-steel, wood-paneled security doors on his home, just as I had on mine. The creature probably would have pulverized a wooden door. Instead, it slammed its head into the steel door, horns leading the way, and drove a foot-deep dent into it. And then it lurched away, letting out a burbling shriek of pain. Smoke rose from its horns, and it staggered back, swatting at them with its three-fingered clawed hands. There weren't many things that reacted to the touch of steel like that. The other two Wutsits had divided their attention. One was pursuing Charity, who was carrying little Amanda and running like hell for the workshop Michael had converted from a freestanding garage. The other was charging Molly, who had pushed Alicia and Matthew behind her. There wasn't time enough to help both groups, and even less to waste over the moral dilemma of a difficult choice. I turned the rod on the beastie chasing Charity and let him have it. The blast hit him in the small of his back and knocked him from his hooves. He flew sideways, slamming into the wall of the workshop, and Charity dashed through the door with her daughter. I turned my blasting rod back to the other creature, but I already knew that I wouldn't be in time. The creature lowered its horns and closed on Molly and her siblings before I could line up for another shot.
"Molly!"
I screamed. My apprentice seized Alicia and Matthew's hands, gasped out a word, and all three of them abruptly vanished. The creature's charge carried it past the space they'd been in, though something I couldn't see struck its hoof and sent it staggering. It wheeled around at full speed, kicking up snow as it did, and I felt a sudden, fierce surge of exultation and pride. The grasshopper might not be able to put up a decent shield, but she could do veils like they were going out of style, and she'd kept her focus and her wits about her.